Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. This is Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm your host, Jeff Trunipole. And as always, I'm bringing you sports from a West Side point of view right here in the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio, home of the Cincinnati Bearcats, who won a very, very close game last night. We'll get into that in a minute. Now, do me a favor. If you found the show, hit that like and subscribe button. Smash that thumbs up. I am holding at 841 subscribers. That is awesome. I appreciate every single one of you. Let's try to keep that rolling, get to 1,000 as fast as we can. Now, this show and every show is brought to you by T Properties. T Properties, quality housing for quality people. Check out their website at www.tpropertiesllc.com for all your rental property management needs and your rental needs. All right. Got a couple news and notes to get into. First, the Reds made it official. The Reds will welcome fans back to GABP. The attendance is up to 30% capacity to start the 2021 season. So that's approximately 14,000 people. So the only time that really affects the attendance, I think, is opening day. Opening day, we sell out. After that, we really don't sell out. So 14,000 people, that's probably about an average attendance, maybe a little less. So I think we're going to be able to social distance and be fine. So go get your tickets. Opening day is on. I don't know about the parade or any of that stuff, but baseball season is going to start. Now, like I said at the beginning of the show, the Bearcats won a close one last night versus Tulsa, 70-69. Keith Williams led the Bearcats with 24 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and 2 blocks. Davenport, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and the Madsen Madness was good for 9 points. Now, if you got to see the end of the game, the Bearcats did what we love. They played defense. Jeremiah Davenport stole the ball, made a layup with 12 seconds left to lift Cincinnati to the win. UC is back to 500 there, 8-8. Now, for everybody, all the Bearcat fans who say that this team has quit on John Brannon, they're not listening to him. I think you should have watched last night's game. That team did not quit. They kept playing. They kept fighting. It was a struggle. But like I've said, over and over and over again, we have a ton of freshmen and sophomores. One of our best sophomores, Jeremiah Davenport, stepped up last night for us. So, like I said, we're not going to the NCAA tournament, but I was extremely happy with the Bearcats. Now we're bringing my boy Jeremy D.
What's going on, man?
Oh, just living a dream here in Cincinnati, pal.
Yeah, same way here, man. It's been the 70s all day. It's been tough. I've been having to wipe this dust and all this spring stuff.
All right, so we're going to just get rid of Jeremy right now as he talks about how nice it is in Alabama.
Oh, here I am again. And anyway,
oh my god!
Okay. I didn't realize I was off.
Are you gonna be nice now? 70 girl, dude. It was in the '50s here. It felt like 70s.
Dude, hey, I knew it couldn't be that much of a difference today. I mean, it was in the '70s, pretty good in the sun here. So I was thinking it had to be at least 50s in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it was a 50. People walk around in shorts and t-shirts, you know. Probably in Alabama, you guys are still bundled up in winter coats because it's 70 degrees. You're probably cold.
Yeah, well, they would, you know.
All right, so you got any new news on the free agent front with the Bengals or what J.J. Watt's going to do or what do you got?
You know what? Yeah, I was able to get some of the latest news anyway on J.J. Watt, and I think we can kind of go ahead and put him to bed now, guys. J.J. Watt is wanting $15 to $16 million a year, and he's pretty much from – this may have been SB Nation – come down to the Packers, Bills, Tennessee, and Cleveland as his final teams of destination. As we knew, Pittsburgh can't pay him, so – I don't see us paying him $15, $16 million a year, then going and paying Lawson $15, $16 million a year, and then there's half your cap on two guys. I didn't see it happening anyway. WJ3, the Vikings are going to come after him very hard, per a report out of Minneapolis. We're going to keep an eye on that. And Charlie Casserly has Justin friggin' Fields, the man, the Buckeye, slipping up into the 20s and getting taken by the Steelers.
No, boy.
I don't like
that.
I don't either. I don't like it one bit, but the troubling fact is if you look at his draft, which I did not write down, but, you know, it could put Fields in that area if there are trades.
Well, that's the thing is if the Houston Texans do something, which I think would be completely idiotic, and trade Deshaun Watson to the Jets, that's gonna mess things up for the Bengals, I think, as far as either getting Sewell or Chase or whatever they want to do.
Yep.
It'll change a lot of stuff. I cannot see the Texans doing that. I think that's because I don't understand why Deshaun Watson would want to go to the Jets. It's an even worse situation than he's in now. So, but getting back to if Fields gets drafted by the Steelers, it would be like I kind of liked Roethlisberger when he's at Miami. You know, he's at Miami of Ohio. That was kind of cool.
Right.
Instantly started disliking him when he went to the Squealers. And that's pretty much what will happen with me and Fields. I mean, I like Fields. You go to the Squealers, I'm instantly going to dislike you. Yep. So I will stop rooting for him. I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Willie J3, he getting some run for the Minnesota Vikings. The thing is, the Bengals, what I think the Bengals need to do is they're going to get, if they don't tag him or Lawson, they're most likely going to get into a bidding war. Do you still think that would you overpay for Lawson and Willie J3? And by how much would you overpay for him? And because I think there's two positions that I am willing to overpay for. And they're ones that, you know, they're free agents from other teams. You know,
right.
the tackle and the guard. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to – I thought we'd be able to get Lawson for $10 million. It might be closer to $15. But if you look at the cap hit, I was listening to the Cincy Jungle podcast last night, and they had a really good capologist on there. And he explained it, I think, the best way that I've ever heard it is the Bengals can offer him all this money, but if they do it with a bonus, you know, and that's the only guaranteed part of the contract that the Bengals give, that's just a hit for this year, and it doesn't linger till next year. And that's right. What the Bengals did a lot on their contracts last year. So I guess that's getting to my point. I think they can outbid or try to outbid players to keep Willie J3, to keep Lawson, but they have to be smart about it, and the players will like it because they get their that bonus money is guaranteed, so right. They can't take that away from them. It's a yeah. straight up cash here. This is we'll give you $20 million to sign or whatever, and that's theirs. And the other way you look at it too is they don't guarantee the contract, but if they're giving them $20 million to sign, they're not going to cut them. So that first year of the contract is guaranteed, basically, too, without it actually being on paper. Exactly. So that's where I think the Bengals have a very good shot of outbidding teams because we have so much extra money. Well, I don't say extra money, but cap space where you can put it on the bonus. Also, you can put not as much on the first year, but the player is going to he's guaranteed to get all that money. So that's where I think the Bengals have an advantage over other teams as far as trying to sign – free agents and trying to keep their own.
Yeah, you know what? I feel about the same way. I think with Watt, he's just so far out there money.
Watt, I'm not paying him $15 million.
At the end of the day, you can even say, well, look, okay, he's wanting $15, $16 million. Well, somebody may give him that due to what he's done in the past. But from what he's done in the last really 2 years, that isn't $15, $16 million play to me.
Right.
But then you switch it over to Carl Lawson, like you were saying, and you ask yourself, okay, well, if we can't get a deal done with him, we're going to be paying him $15 to $16 million a year.
And I would rather do that because he's 25 years old. He's younger. He's going to be here longer. He's already been in the system. And the thing is, too, we are all banging the drum for the offensive line. And this is I don't remember which podcast I heard this on, but this is a real – I think it might have been James Rapine, actually, on he brought this up on his podcast with Tony Pike, where he said – or Pike brought it up. I can't remember. But anyway.
Tony Pike said, being ex-quarterback for the Bearcats?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Oh!
Yep. The one we've seen. There you go. Not bad for a Buckeye fan.
That's right.
But what they were saying is, and I think this is a very good thing that the Bengals will do, is Kansas City Chiefs. The first couple of years, they were pretty much all in on their offense. They got their offensive line, they got their weapons, they did all that. And once they got Patrick Mahomes going and everything, then they really concentrated on the defense. I think that's what the Bengals could do and should do this year. We got to keep Lawson. We got to keep Lil J3. Those two we have to keep. You get those two locked up. Then you concentrate on getting that tackle, getting that guard, and then hopefully drafting Jamar Chase and, you know, figuring out what to do down the line in the second and third round, where you could draft, you know, more wide receivers, an edge rusher, you know, possible tight end, stuff like that. That's where I think the Bengals need to do, and they're just going to have to try to outscore people, because I don't know if they can fix everything. I hope they can, but we'll see. But the biggest thing is, if you can keep Joe Burrow upright and you give him plenty of time to throw the ball and give him more weapons, we're going to have a better – that's our best chance to win games. The longer Joe Burrow and the offense is on the field and the longer the other team's offense is on the bench – We're controlling the clock. We're going to win most of those games, and that's what Kansas City Chiefs did for the first couple of years. And then they got to the playoffs, and it's a different game. You got to have, you know, defense and all that stuff. Which I'm not saying neglect the defense at all, but I'm just saying I can see the Bengals' vision as being offensive first. Keep our own players, fix the offense.
You know what? I agree, man. I mean, I think we've got to keep WJ3 100%. And I believe we got to keep Lawson, and we got to give them a deal, 3-5 years, whatever. They right. give us a little hometown discount because we brought them into the league. And, you know, that's normally what players do, especially when they become part of a city, you know, right. like there with Cincinnati. The thing that gets me, though, is this here. And this is another report from SB Nation. But one of their writers thinks that the Bengals should move out of the first round completely.
Mm-hmm.
Completely move out of the first round. Let me get his quote on here. He says, as fun as it may be for fans to daydream about bringing in somebody like even Sewell or Jamar Chase, the team is not one or two starters away from title contention. You can trade the number 5, go out of the first round, and end up with, I believe he said, from the number 5 choice into a half dozen or so choices in the top 100. So, yeah. Even I can see where he's getting at. I love, yeah. like you were always talking about, stacking the talent, building the
right.
talent.
Right.
But we don't. It's not a guarantee to me.
Right. And the thing is, at number 5, if you have a chance to get a guy like Jamar Chase, it's like James Rapine was saying the other day, he's a generational talent.
Exactly.
You don't just pass that. And Sewell might be a generational talent. I don't know. I would rather, like I said, $1 million, rather than fix it through free agency, fix the line that way. And if you look, there's a picture on Twitter somewhere that they had a picture of Jamar Chase and right next to Devontae Smith. Dude, Jamar Chase is a man. That dude. I've
heard him.
Yeah. He is an NFL body. I mean, and it's just that is a game changing piece for the Bengals, for the offense. I just keep thinking if you get, just say, let's get, is it Darnell Williams? Is that the guy? One of the free agent tackles? I know there's two Williams. One's Trent, and the other one's, I think, Daryl Williams or Darnell.
Yeah, Daryl Williams.
So you get one of those two at tackle. And we all keep saying Tooney. Hopefully we get Tooney at guard. That solidifies the offensive line, and you get Jamar Chase. You got Chase. You got Boyd, Higgins, Uzama, sample. I mean, dude, Dak will open it up and Joe Burrow will kill him. And then everybody forgets Joe Mixon has never had a great offensive line. You fix that, that makes it even better. So I want to get to this question that Carson brought up here. I brought up a little bit ago. But if you had a choice and you had to choose one, who you re-signing, Carl Lawson or William Jackson? I'll go first if you want. Now, I'm taking out of the two, I'm taking Carl Lawson. Because the reason being, Carl Lawson is the only pass rusher that the Bengals have right now. You know, he did get pressure on the quarterback. He didn't sack him as much as we'd like. But the better your pass rush is, the better your secondary is. So you can have Deion Sanders out there, and if they can stand back there for a minute and pick apart your defense, it doesn't matter who your DB is. So to me, the more important position is pass rush. You got to keep him. And they're talking about franchising tagging if they can't come to agreement with him, which I really hope they don't. Because it's a big hit on our salary cap this year. It's all the money. All that money is this year on the cap. So hopefully they can work something out and spread it out. Because this is a very crucial offseason for the Bengals. They have a lot of money, but they have to be smart with it. Like Keith has said that a lot of times on here. The Bengals aren't always smart with their money. Last year, I really do think they were smart with their money of how they set up the contracts and who they signed, except for, as we always said, the offensive line. But that's a key thing for me. Go ahead. Who would you sign out of the two?
I'm with you. But then again, you know, I stand back and I've watched a few of the games from last year and I'm like, hell, Carl Lawson's in the game. This dude's still standing back there all day long. And rarely was it on WJ3, which, of course, everybody knew he was our best corner. So they were going after LaShawn Sams. They were going after Phillips, Young Bucks. But, you know, to me, I if we could get a deal, if we're talking about an actual getting a deal done or having to, you know, I don't know, man. That's a tough question. I really, you know, I'd probably have to go with a pass rusher like Carl Lawson.
Yeah.
But, I mean, man, there ain't many cornerbacks.
If he does get consistent pressure, it makes it – I mean, it's just the way football works.
Yeah.
You get consistent pressure, you know, you can have – you don't have to have as good a cornerbacks, you know, if you're, you know, hurting the quarterback, which, I mean, the Bengals didn't have consistent pressure. So I'm not saying Carl Lawson –
yeah, no. That's where I'm at.
But I mean, the thing is you can't lose the one guy you have that does put pressure on him. So I want, hopefully they'll add in the draft and everything. But if you're going between the two, to me, you got to keep Lawson. I want to keep both. I really do think they can keep both. And some team just gives up, throws just stupid money at them, you know. Yeah. And the Bengals are like, all right, you know, we'll just move on. So David has a comment in here. Looks like the Squealers will resign Roethlisberger for another year. Look for a blockbuster trade involving Darnold in March and saying goodbye to Sewell in the draft.
Yeah, you never know.
But the thing is that if the Jets trade Darnold and they end up taking Sewell, who's their quarterback? I mean, you fix the offensive line.
But you can't get both. Yeah.
They can't get both. Nope. I mean, well, unless they drop down and take, you know, the kid from Alabama, or if he drops that far. But I don't know, some people are saying they got Mac. They're saying he might be. Some people are saying he might go higher to Fields now. I'm like, this is what it drives me nuts about the draft. You know, before the draft, you know, it was Lawrence, it was Fields. Now you got the kid from Alabama, you got the kid from BYU. I don't understand. And we're not even doing the combine this year. So it's just weird of how people jump back and forth, and they're not playing games anymore. You know,
it's the Akili Smith deal. Right. It's this guy that everybody just comes out and says, oh, he's the best ever. Trust me on this. And then the Bengals fall for it, and he's not the best, and he will never be the best ever. But it's kind of like that to me. It just seems like these guys are coming out of nowhere. Why haven't we seen them all year? At least during halftime, at least, you know, we haven't seen none of these guys.
Yeah, Nick, now I'll left this up there because I know you love Wayne's. But he said, I think we were smart except for Wayne's last year. Even before the injury, I didn't like it.
I love the Wayne's pick.
He said Wayne's is Kirk Patrick without the PI issues.
You know, I don't know about that, dude. You're talking about a guy top 10 in the league, man. Stats are stats. I mean, but I truly believe that they didn't bring in Wayne's as a – there is no really shutdown corners to me anymore. Like you were talking about Deion, yeah. Daryl Revis, these guys, you know, they just don't come around like that.
There's a couple. There's not as many. There's one or two, but you're not – I mean, they're not an everyday – you know, run-of-the-mill thing you can pick up. Most teams don't have one.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, 10 years ago, maybe even 15, you'd go play a team and you'd say, okay, we know who they're – okay, this guy's got this cornerback. So, you know, AJ may have a tough time. Chad Johnson may have a tough time all the way back. But now it's a little bit different. The defensive schemes have changed. Offensive – they've all changed. So, right. I don't know. We'll see. But I just think that having both of them would be
I want both of them. I mean,
yeah, I do. I can't see anybody.
I want a left tackle, and I want.
Why not?
Tooney, and people are like, well, that might be a pipe dream. I don't think it is because they have enough money to do it if they structure the contracts right.
Yeah,
you know, they can do it. They just have to be smart with their money. Yeah. Now Nick said to answer the question, give me Lawson. But more important to this team next year, lose Lawson and you have zero pressure. Exactly. We weren't getting any much, but you lose Lawson. He's right. You won't get any. All person you have is Hubbard unless you draft somebody. But I don't – like I said.
But see, if you look at it that way, we're screwed then because nothing's going to change. I mean, we're not going to make that
more flesh. I mean, that's where I'm kind of saying they got to find somebody in the draft. You know, try to find – like Carl Lawson was a – fourth round, third round pick. I mean, you can find these guys. So you got to try to find it in the draft. I don't know if we're going to get – well, I won't say an edge rusher. We're not going to get Shaq Barrett. We're not going to get J.J. Watt. We're not going to get these guys because the more important thing – I know I was talking about what about getting J.J. Watt, but J.J. Watt is wanting way too much money. I'm not paying him that much money.
No.
Shaq Barrett's going to want way too much money. We got to get the offensive line fixed. If we get Jamar Chase, that is, like I said, a generational talent that changes the offense completely for the Bengals. But there's still guys that they can get. I wish you brought the guy's name up. He's a inside guy. He got released from the Tennessee Titans. You brought him up last week. He's a guy that they can get and put next to DJ Reader. There's other guys that are going to be cut and released that the Bengals could possibly pick up. So there are other options out there. It's not if we don't sign Lawson, we're screwed. We're not. I mean, it's going to be a big time loss. But we have to try to find guys. I want to say I don't like saying cheaper. Just they got to be smart about the contract. They can get guys to fix the defense line good enough. But if you have a juggernaut offense, you don't have to have as good a defense. No. Look at the 05 team. The 05 team had a juggernaut offense, and they had a very good defense, but it was a very opportunistic defense. They had a ton of interceptions that year.
Right.
But it wasn't like we had all pros at every position. We had more all pros on the offense side than we did on the defensive side. So you can win without a great defense. Now, when it comes to getting into the playoffs and all that stuff, you need a really good defense, or at least a good defensive scheme. Because let's be honest, the Buccaneers were not known for their defense. Honestly, all year. I mean, they were good defense, don't get me wrong, but not a shutdown Kansas City Chiefs to zero touchdowns defense. No, that was not expected.
They haven't been that in a long time.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can get –
I mean, yeah.
Guys can step up. Casey, is that the guy's name?
Gerald Casey.
Or no, Newell.
I think it's Jarrell. He might have put in instead of Jay, but him or
he fixed it. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, Jarrell. There you go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, him, yeah. Casey, and Kwon Short. He's another one out there from Carolina. So, you know, we're not too far. I just keep going back when everybody goes, man, we've got to have Lawson. If we don't have Lawson, there's no pass rush. And I go back and watch some of the games, and I'm going, damn, I'd kind of like to see a pass rush right now. You know,
right. There's guys in free agents too. Just don't think we can get the high end guys. There's multiple guys out there that they can get, you know, to fix it. And one thing I do disagree with some people, where they say, like you were saying, what was it? SB Nation said that we need to trade back. We have so many holes in our team. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. I don't. Even with the defense. I mean, put it this way. Like I said, left tackle or right tackle, guard, offensive line is fixed to me. Defense, you get an edge rusher, another edge rusher, Lawson, and somebody coming up the middle with DJ. I won't say the defense is fixed, but it's good enough to win with, you know. And then it all comes down to scheme, and that's where I can't stand Armadillo, and I don't trust him. But if he can actually is a good defensive coordinator, we have the talent if we had a better scheme, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like the guys that are on the team are not talented. We have a lot of talent on this team, including the defense.
Yep. That's where I'm at. I don't care, you know, they can look at it as a certain way of saying, yeah, we need multiple linemen, even on top of the linemen we may get. Or mm-hmm. this or that. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about a guy that really, when you're talking about Chase and even Sewell, you're talking about two guys that are going to be lucky to be there. So for one, if they're there, you're going to take one of the two, no matter how we decide to do our free agency. Hopefully we do it through offensive line. But right. You know, if you get 12 picks before the 100th pick, out of 244 picks, I mean, that is pretty – it's fun to think about, I guess you could say, but I certainly would not want Chase to still be on the board or Sewell.
Well, that's the thing, and that's one thing that James brought up to us. And we've contemplated this. I don't really think this is going to happen. I think one of them is going to be gone. But what if Sewell's there and what if Chase is there? Now, to me, it's pretty easy. If you fix the offensive line in free agency, you're taking Chase. Mm-hmm. If you didn't, you're taking Sewell. You know, and it's just, that's where you gotta fix it in free agency. It makes the draft a lot easier, more simple. It gives you more moves that you can do. And Nick, I agree with it, brother. He says Lou, and I call him Armadillo, stinks.
Yeah, he's horrible.
Addicted to dropping ends into coverage. Yes. Why would you drop? That's the other thing. He drops Carl Lawson into coverage. I'm like, he would draft Carlos Dunlap in the coverage.
Oh, he didn't care. He put Hubbard in coverage.
Right. He's the bottom three coordinators I've ever seen. Yeah. Nick, I like all year I banged the drum, and that's why I call him Armadillo. I wanted him gone. I wanted him gone more than I wanted Zach gone. I'm still not totally – after the last game of the year, I wanted Zach gone, you know. But I kind of defended him throughout the year. This guy over here wanted Zach gone. Me, I wanted Armadillo gone. After the Indianapolis game, I wanted Armadillo gone. I'm like, you cannot blow a 20-something point lead by that defense. That scheme was terrible. Unbelievable.
It was absolutely miserable. And, yes, he is the bottom three. I don't know – how he's going to take these players that we've got, that we've already spent money on, and then more players that we may bring in, or we definitely will be bringing in through the draft and free agency. So I don't know how things are going to change with that. That's up to the it's above our pay grade, but I'll tell you right now, it's scary as hell. I don't like Lou, period.
No, I don't. Now, Tommy says the linebacking unit is solid. I like both Wilson and Davis Gaither. Bailey is a project. Also like Jordan Evans. He needs more snaps. Yeah, me and Bobby talked about this one of the shows that you weren't on. That I really like the guys that they got last year. Yeah. You know, the free agency. I like they were solid players, you know, and I like the ones that they draft. And Duke Tobin, I think, hit it out of the ballpark as far as the draft goes, because from well, obviously Joe Burrow, but you got T. Higgins, Logan Wilson, Davis Gaither. These guys, Adeniji. I mean, Adeniji, say what you want to say. He played solid minutes for, you know, what, a fourth or fifth round pick, whatever he was. I don't remember. But he hit it out of the ballpark, and they got to do it again this year. And they're offseason. They hit it out of the ballpark as far as the free agents they signed, except for the offensive line, which, as we've said a million times, I don't know why they didn't do it. But that's where I think, and Nick set it up here farther up in the chat, that the Kansas City Chiefs won a Super Bowl without a dominant defense. You don't have to have a dominant defense. You have to be dominant on one side of the ball or the other. You know, and the Super Bowl, the defense was more dominant than the offense was in this past year. It was. The year before that, Kansas City blew everybody's doors off.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of with you there, and my thing is, I hope these guys can get together. I mean, we got Trey Waynes, never played a snap. We got DJ Reader, played what, four games. We got all this money. Josh Bynes, he played a little more, but he had to have a year to actually kind of – he didn't really start coming into the Josh Bynes that I watched in Baltimore until the end of the – towards the end of the season. Then I started seeing my boy. So I can see that them coming around and getting better. Lou scares the hell out of me again. Yeah. But I did want to ask you guys a quick question, ask you the same thing.
What's up?
If Marcus Mariota were out there or Kilpatrick, right? Or Kirkpatrick.
Kirkpatrick was the Bengal. You mean Fitzpatrick?
Fitzpatrick or Marcus Mariota. Who would you take? Because there's been a little bit of talk on both
as far as a backup quarterback goes.
I take
Fitzmagic, just because he, to me, is the perfect guy for, you know, the worst case scenario, which I don't believe is going to happen, that Joe Burrow won't be back game one. You still think he won't be? I do. I think.
I hope he is. I hope.
I'm talking into. I'm speaking it into existence, Jeremy.
No, you but, go. I mean,
and Mariota wants to be a starter, so, and that's not going to happen here. So I don't see him coming. Fitzmagic wants to be a starter too, but he's also older and he understands the game. How many times has he been a starter than not? So that's where I'm like, Fitzpatrick out of the two would be the guy that I would sign as a backup quarterback.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to see what you thought about it. I just heard something about it today. They actually also mentioned if we end up letting Geno or Geo go, if LeSean McCoy would be a suitable replacement. And man, you know,
last night I was listening to that. Well, actually, they answered my question. The Cincy Jungle, the capologist, I asked, I said, do you think they'll let Geo go? And he said, you know, free up $4 million or whatever, and you know, get it to however much money on top of the cap that we said was releasing the other guys that we've talked about.
Right.
In his opinion, they're not going to do that because it's, you know, they pay. But the thing is, he said they pay too much money. The Bengals have more money allotted in the running game than most teams do.
Mm-hmm.
I love Geo. I do. He's one of my favorite players, but I still think it's a good idea because, I mean, you can find a guy, not necessarily to do exactly what Geo does, but Piron did good. Mackenzie Alexander, the good. I mean, it's and if you have a better offensive line, Joe Mixon is going to kill it. I mean, that's one of the other exciting things to me. You get the offensive line. I want to see Joe Mixon just kill it. And people in the chat there on the Cincy Juggle thing were like, well, Mixon, you know, he dances too much before he goes in the hole and he does this. I'm like,
yeah,
people, he has had a crappy line all 4 years he's been here. He's had to dance to figure out where in the world the hole is. Or if there's no hole, you just got to run. So that's where I'm dead. People like that don't know football.
And that's not our style. I mean, we don't, you know, I guess you'd have to go back to what? Hell, I can't even remember the last offensive line, but there's been quite a few where they'd run and they'd run all over you and you knew it was coming and it didn't matter. That's not nowhere near where Mixon has ever been in his career with the Bengals. So, right, you know, exactly. And the guy's still top 10 running back. Wait, what can you – jeez.
Well, I titled the show, we kind of got off on a tangent of the free agency and everything, which we seem like we always do that. Cause,
yeah.
But the title of the show is, you know, Elizabeth Blackburn's vision for the Bengals. Now, she is the granddaughter of Mike Brown, daughter of Katie Blackburn. And she had a very cool article that she put out on – was that on Cincy – where was that? On Bengals?
Bengals.com.
Bengals.com. Okay. And she's just talking about her, the vision statement for the Bengals moving forward. And I'm going to just pop it up there because I think it's great. And if you look at the center part, it says the part in black. The Bengals strive to be a championship football team with culture built on high standards and competitive hunger. We connect players and fans and partners into one team and create an enduring legacy in Cincinnati. That, I think, is a powerful statement. It is, it's the changing of the guards of what they are trying to accomplish. And I think it started last year of not only the image of the Bengals, but also the character of the players that they were signing and drafting.
Completely, man. And what I loved about it is there was some fire in there. It almost seemed like, you know, you didn't even have to read it, you know, into making it sound like it was something. I mean, it was, that was pretty forceful, and yeah. I loved it. I love to hear it. I mean, because that's what we need. We don't need to sit around and play patty cake and bring it. Oh, well, we're going to do this year. We're going to do that. No, pretty much that was the ham and eggs of the Bengals right there. And she just literally put it out there and said, this is what we are going to do.
I mean, she's the future, you know, owner, leader of the Bengals eventually. I mean, Katie Blackburn and her husband are going to take over. And that's the other thing. I think Tommy brought it up, or somebody brought it up, that they actually have a group of this, not just Mike Brown with his iron fist up there in the ivory tower saying, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that anymore. It's, you know, it's Katie Blackburn, it's Troy Blackburn, it's, I think, a couple are that are part of the decision making. Now, obviously, I'm sure Mike Brown, if he wants something, he has the final say. So I would think, yeah. But just, and I just have a feeling that changed last year, not when Zach Taylor first got here, but last year, just the offseason, the way they did it, and just the thing we saw, where it looks like they're talking about doing the Ring of Honor, or at least they're looks like they're trying to put up the names for the Ring of Honor. Like she said, she's trying to bring the fans in and everything. And that's one thing the Bengals always lacked is connection with the fans. And that's one of the reasons that the Reds do such a great job of that. And honestly, the Bengals have been they've been to more playoffs than the Reds have the last couple of years, to be honest, in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's just probably if you go 2000 to now, the Bengals have been to more playoffs. They haven't won any, but neither have the Reds. They haven't won a playoff series.
No.
But they've been in more playoffs than the Reds have. But people never give the Bengals a break because they never feel like the Bengals care about them. Uh-huh. You know, there's no Ring of Honor. There's no just reaching out to the fans and just it's saying, you know, open your arms up and bringing them in and saying we care. The Reds do it a ton. They are great at it, what they do. So that's why I'm very excited of the new blood that's coming in to the Bengals organization. And the thing is, we talked about this before. They've got to do something because 2024 or 2025 is coming quickly. And the stadium deal is going to have to be renewed. And the Bengals, that's all the Bengals want. They want the stadium maintained. They don't want a brand new stadium. They want it maintained, you know. So, and like I said before, we lose the Bengals, we're not getting a football team back.
No. And that's why it's so great to hear those words come from her. A younger, I think Nick may have mentioned it, you know, a younger voice, and she is. And you know what? I love the fire. I like the compassion. It seemed to me like she's ready to, you know, play a little ball, I guess you could say, between her, Tobin, and, you know, Katie and her boy Troy or whatever, whoever's running things. We're going to find out soon enough, that's for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, Nick had a great point here. He said little things like better social media teams have made a big deal of fan engagement. Exactly. Well, it's not that. It's just the different podcasts, too, that they have. I mean, there's more Bengals podcasts than there are Reds podcasts. I mean, you could look up. There's, you know, mine's not necessarily considered a Bengals one, but it's a, you know, just Cincinnati sports one. But there's Bengal Gym. There's here to crowd rolling. There's Cincinnati Jungle. There's our Orange Black podcast. They're not all run by. I'm not run by anybody except me. But they are in partnership with the Bengals, and they can get different Bengal players on there and different broadcasters and stuff like that. That stuff like that helps, and then just silly social media stuff they do, you know, which the Reds have been great at for years. The Bengals last couple of years have finally got into that, and that also puts the Bengals out there in the fans' minds during the season when they're not playing. You know,
the interactive part is a huge gap. I mean, like you were talking about the Reds, it's like day and night with Cincinnati, with the Bengals and the Reds, and the interactiveness with the fans for Bengal fans. Not only does it help your team, does it help your city, does it bring more people, get everybody energized, but it also, when you put a good product on the field, you don't hardly get near as many complaints.
Right. And the thing is, Cincinnati fans, we love the Bengals. We love them. I mean, we should be considered one of the most loyal fan bases around the NFL. You know, I put our fan base against anybody's. All right, now David said, according to the experts, the offensive line talent is deep in the draft. So the Bengals should take Chase and another elite receiver at 5, fix the offensive line later in the draft and free agency. Well, the thing is, there's only one guy, and like James Rapine said, there's only one guy who's a generational talent as far as the offensive line goes, and that's Sewell. So if they don't fix it in free agency, I'm scared about taking it just because of the problems that we've had with, you know, the offensive lineman in the past. But I don't see how you could pass him up if you don't fix it in free agency. If you do fix it, then I'm taking Ja'Marr Chase all day long. And you can get this draft is high in offensive linemen, wide receivers, and quarterbacks. And there's always running backs you can find. But you know, it's not very good. And that's the one problem with the Bengals this year. There's not a very deep defensive draft, you know? So it's going to be kind of – that's where they got to really do their due diligence and try to find these guys.
Yeah, because, you know, like he was saying, we've got – it's a pretty solid deck of offensive linemen. But when you get to tackle, there is a big drastic, like, drop-off.
There's Sewell. And then there's everybody else, according to the experts.
You know? Yeah. You want to say Slater might be whatever.
James Rapine is not sold on Slater. He was not sold on Slater at all.
He wasn't at all. But then again, you've got, you know, some of these big idiots from, I'm kidding, but NFL Network and all these guys coming out with Slater's better than they got Sewell going at 12 or 15. Well,
that's the thing. When they come out with mock drafts, you know, people come out with mock drafts right after the season. I'm like, and you have no idea what these teams are going to do, where these guys are going to drop or anything. I'm like, I don't really start paying attention to mock drafts till, I don't know, mid-March, you know, maybe beginning, because that's when you really know, because the guys who do the best job at the mock drafts is one of my, and I'm gonna give Cowhead credit. It's a guy who Cowhead puts on there, and I can't remember his name right now, but he is one of the best guys as far as people he knows in the NFL and what he's talked to of what they're thinking about doing. And if it's just a guy going like me, you and me can go do a mock draft. Oh, I take this guy. Oh, I take that guy. There's no, you know, you gotta, if you want to base your mock draft, you got to base your mock draft on sources, on people who intelligently know what's going on and potentially in the NFL. Yep. You're not going to know that in January.
No. And you've got to go watch this kid face to face. You can't just watch tape for a couple minutes. You know, you got to see this kid's pro day or whatever the hell they're going to let him do, because, you know, you never know with the draft.
Natty, what up, brother?
What's up, Natty? It has been a while.
Exactly. All right, Nick says, I think even if you fix the line of free agency, you can still take Sewell. If you take Sewell, the line goes from the weakest position group to potentially the best. Yeah, and you could do that. And James said the same thing. If you do that, if you fix through free agency and you take Sewell, you can kick Jonah into guard, which, I mean, they've said on reports that they don't want to do that or they're not planning on doing that, but you can.
But the thing is, though, is like you could
probably get another offensive lineman, not as good as Sewell, but if you've got a solid tackle and a solid guard, you can find another one in the second or third round that you could also plug and play, most likely, in this draft. There are guys out there. So that's where I'm like, if you fix the offensive line through free agency and Jamar is there, I'm taking Chase, dude. I'm taking him. But if he's not and they don't do it, they don't fix the offensive line, I'm taking Sewell.
You know what? Myself personally, and I may be completely crazy, I think – you know, okay, thank you. I've been told now. Thank you. So
it has been confirmed, Jeremy G. is
da, da, da. But you know what? I think it's literally going to come down to what exactly the Bengals know about Joe Burrow's injury. I say this to say this because if they think Burrow may not be there the first 4-6 games, you know, if they don't think he's completely ready, hasn't had any play, I could almost see him not taking Chase and going with Sewell, like he mentioned, if they're both there, because you're kind of looking down the road.
You're
looking down the road with him. So I can see them taking him over Chase, but I think if we get him healthy and he's completely healthy, he's going to be back game one, no matter what. I think then we lean more towards.
Wait. Did you just say he's going to be back game one no matter what?
I said if they know that.
Ah, okay.
I think we're going to take Chase. I mean, why?
Because I'm the one that keeps saying he's going to be back game one no matter what. And you're like,
I hope he does. I just wish him come out. All I've heard is he's not going to play any preseason games.
No, that's not going to happen. Exactly. All right, Damon, you are new to the show, that at least that I don't remember you ever commenting before, but welcome to the show, sir. Okay, I agree. Not only focus on the O-line as far as those who will start, but at least work on our depth so that we have added security for Burrow. Look what Cleveland has done. Just my opinion, though, Hude. Yeah, I mean, sure. It's the more you get on the offensive line, it's not a bad thing.
No. That's why Super Bowl Nation's got us going back out of the top freaking 20, whatever, you know. Okay. Just to get more, you know, more fruit on the tree, I guess. So you never know what's going to happen until free agency happens, really.
And this is why I say that I don't agree with SB Nation. We're saying that we have multiple holes and we need to trade back. We have holes. We don't have multiple holes. Yeah. One of our biggest holes is Armadillo, our defense corner. And I I hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong. But I prayed I was wrong about Bobby Hart, and I wasn't. So I'm hoping Armadillo figures something out. The only thing that I'm kind of like, okay, maybe he will, because they've got more veteran coaches on that defensive side of the ball to hopefully help coach these guys up, you know. And hopefully – help Armadillo actually play the 3-4 like he wanted to, you know? Exactly. And if I see him drop, if we just say we, for some reason, got Shaq Barrett, which I don't think we're going to get him. Just say we got Shaq Barrett, who was dominant in the Super Bowl. If he becomes a Bengal and I saw Armadillo drop him back in coverage, I might drive down to PBS myself and choke him. or I'll be at the game, so I might go up to the stand.
I hope you got your own. Oh, I hope you got gas, bro.
I'm like, but I can totally see him doing something stupid like that. That's like, oh, my goodness. All right.
Now, let me ask you this. I did hear a quick little rumor, and it's not a huge deal, but it's still they're talking about maybe having a little reunion one-year deal with Tyler Eifert to come in behind.
Yeah, I did hear something about that. And, I mean – I mean, I'm not paying him a ton of money because he didn't do anything in Jacksonville. I wouldn't mind it. I mean, he's the last year he was here, he did a little bit. I mean, it'd be worth, you know, taking a chance on it and see. I mean, like I said, that wouldn't be anything. I wouldn't worry about him until after June, July. You know, that'd be something down the line. Like we said, Mike Daniels, in June. And that's the other thing. Bengals, we're still signing people all the way up till training camp. That's one thing you never heard them do last year. So, you know, Eifert, like I said, he's injury prone. And when I say sign him, I'm not saying sign him, make him the starter. No, make him he's the third tight end.
Yep.
You know, you CJ Zama is ahead of him, along with Sample. So, Damon, I agree with you. I would not, you know, he said too many injuries, but I'm just saying he's worth a flyer and worth, you know, as your third or whatever. That'll depend on if they pick up a tight end in the offseason or in the draft too, because that's a possibility too.
It doesn't even matter. And most likely, if Eifert came here for a year, we'd probably give him $5 million. You know what I mean? So I don't.
I'm not giving the league minimum.
Well, but I think that's. I mean, it literally wouldn't even have a blip on our radar. But I don't see it being a bad thing for Uzama and Sample to have Eifert to kind of listen to and
right. Exactly. Dude, I mean, that's where Uzama learned from. He learned from Eifert.
Yeah.
Damon says, I understand we had many injuries on the defense, but that Houston game was horrible for our defense. There were 400 yards rushing against us. Yeah. Well, Damon, the game that I always bring up is the Indy game. That's the one that really, really just irked me. We were up by, I want to say 24 points. And how many times did we see the tight end, the wide receiver, running right over the wide middle of the field and nobody touched them? And they kept doing it over and over and over again. And I'm sitting there going, Armadillo, what are you doing? And that's the other thing, too. Mike, Damon said, we had a lot of injuries. We had a lot of injuries, and most of them were on the defensive side of the ball. So yeah, that's another thing, because we didn't even get to see a full season of DJ Reader.
No. No, and you know what? I'm with him. That Houston game, I'm with you too. The Colts game, I could actually go back to game one, but it's unbelievable how bad we played. And for me, it's kind of hard, I'll be honest with you, to sit here and talk about paying Carl Lawson that kind of money, especially if we don't get a deal done with him, paying him like $15 million, that taking a cap hit just like that worries me, because I remember watching Carl Lawson all year last year. And I just did not see $15 million worth of play on the field.
The reason he's getting that is because the Pro Football Focus, where he created the opportunities for sacks. And that's where I want to keep him, but I also want to get other guys who he's creating it. They're actually sacking, you know, Hubbard got hurt. DJ Reader got hurt. Geno was never the same. Mike Daniels got hurt. So if these guys didn't get hurt, it might have been different. I don't know. And I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just speaking facts. They got hurt.
Yeah. Well, and they did. And you're right. But in our division, they're going to play Lamar Jackson for a long time. They're going to play Baker Mayfield for a long time. And even though I can't stand Mayfield, he's a little squirrely dude too. I mean, he can get out of a pinch like you know, Joe freaking Burrow. But you know, luckily he don't have the touch that Burrow has. But anyway, you know, and then we're going to have whoever, maybe Justin Fields, if Charles Cassidy's right, you know, coming up behind.
Well, if you guys didn't hear earlier, Jeremy read an article that they had Fields dropping down to the squealers
in the draft. 20 spot or 20, top 20 spot. So if that happens, you're looking at not pretty much all running quarterbacks in the AFC. So we cannot look the same way we did last year, period. And it doesn't – you can take away the quarterbacks we go against. Everybody goes against good quarterbacks, but we'd go against some serious ones, and we must play better.
Yeah, I agree with Nick here. He said injuries happen, but injuries look much worse when the scheme is bad. I agree with that. That's where I'm not an Armadillo fan at all. I just – I've seen enough of him. All right, man. It's about 6:25, and I just heard my son and his fiance come in, so we're going to eat some dinner. So I think we're going to roll on out of here.
Cool deal.
But I'd like to invite you guys all to join the Facebook groups to help me or let me live stream. I appreciate those guys. I'm a member of all of them. They are Houday Nation, Ohio State Bucknuts, Cincinnati Reds, Rounding Third and Heading for Home, Bearcat Ruckus and the Ice Bar. And you can follow me on all my social media platforms, all under Sports with Strawberry Ice on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. The podcast will be put up later on tonight. Make sure you guys rate, like, and review. I'm on BeanPod, Apple Podcasts, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. I'm there. And other than that, oh, wait, YouTubers. Sorry, we're at 841. That is awesome. Let's keep it rolling. Let's try to add some more people. Get to 1,000 as fast as we can. Other than that, Jeremy Dean, will you help us roll on out of here?
I certainly will, my friend. And just real quick, just want to throw some prayers and love to Tiger Woods. Hope everything's all right, man.
Yes.
Most likely, you know.
Play golf, Raleigh.
Yes.
Let's just hope he can walk and have a normal life. That's the more important thing right now.
Yep.
Hopefully he can at least walk, play golf with his son, and forget about the PGA. Just get better.
Yep. Because
normal life as you can.
Yeah, that's right. Because it's not all about golf, even though that's how he was raised to be. It's not looking that way now, and he's going to have to probably make a turn into his future that's something different than he's ever been a part of. So anyway, you know, the ones out for Tiger. And other than that, as always, remember one thing and one thing only, and that is you don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati, so act like it. Keep telling your friends, like the show, and tell your friends about the show.
Exactly. Hoo day. See you guys tomorrow. Zeke of the week's tomorrow. Make sure you guys write it down, figure out who it is, and make your comment on the show. And other than that, that's just sports, baby. See ya!